Thank you for helping us make Budget and for more than 4.5 million downloads of Issues Etc. in 2017. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio Incorporated has been independent and in the black for almost 10 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support of Issues Etc. live and on demand, and for our 24/7 talk and music stations. That's the King's College Choir with the hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful, playing right now at our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Tomorrow will be the final day of Christmas-only music at LPR. Then on Saturday, that's Epiphany Day, we'll begin playing sacred music for the Epiphany season. You can listen 24/7 absolutely free and following the course of the church year at LutheranPublicRadio.org. LutheranPublicRadio.org or on the LPR mobile app. It's sacred music for the church at LutheranPublicRadio.org. People say dumb things on social media. All of us have done it. And sometimes you get caught up in the zeitgeist and the feeling of the season. Coming up on New Year's, there was a tweet that was put out by Emily McCombs, one of the editors at Huffington Post, that was, well, sounded kind of hostile toward half the population of the planet, murderous even of half the population of the planet. Joining us to talk about the consequences of fostering an anti-male culture, Joy Pullman, a mother of four children, managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, Rather Than Banding Together to Kill All Men This Year, Women Should Learn to Love. Joy, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi.
Tell us about Emily McCombs' pre-New Year's Eve tweet.
Sure. Well, she is an editor for the parenting section of the Huffington Post, and she put out her New Year's resolutions. And, you know, as you mentioned, one of them, well, the first one was developing a better relationships with women. Great. The second one, however, was band together to kill all men. And I do want to give her the benefit of the doubt. It's not clear if she was joking. You know, I presume she's not about to go on a murderous rampage. But I went on to talk about, you know, how that sort of statement is seen as a joke and is seen as acceptable to say about men in ways that it wouldn't be seen as acceptable to say about women.
So what is the cultural context that makes that last statement you just made true, where a woman can joke about killing all men? If a man did it, he'd have local law enforcement at his doorstep within a half hour.
Well, sure. I mean, so I bet your listeners are familiar with all these ways that we say that completely trivial things are somehow harmful to women. So, you know, it's terrible if a man sits on a subway and doesn't have his legs together. You know, if he tries to explain things in a way that women do not like, he's accused of mansplaining. You know, if a woman is not happy about a compliment that a man gives her, you know, that can be interpreted as, you know, on a continuum with assault. So we have all these sorts of cultural phenomena that are very anti-man. I don't even think they're pro-woman, but they are used as tools to have dominance of women over men.
Okay, but I want to explore something you just said there. They're not pro-woman. There's something else going on here than girl power. Girl power doesn't necessitate, say, let's kill all boys.
Exactly. Well, see, the culture wars want us to kind of divide people in order, I think, to weaken us all, because men and women, we're interdependent. That's really obvious. If you just look at our biological design, that, of course, goes on to create these networks of interdependence in our communities and our families. It takes a mom and a dad to raise a child well, to create a child. Children need both of the unique things that they get from a mother and a father. And the same is true in our society. You know, we need women, we need men, and we need them to work together in order to make a good life for us all. So, you know, there's no really, you know, men on top, women underneath, or vice versa. What we need is to, you know, respect our strengths, you know, while being able to talk honestly about our weaknesses.
So, kind of laying aside Emily McCombs' tweet, because all of us have at one time or another said something stupid on social media, she she did take it down. It is, without a doubt, completely acceptable to disrespect men as an entire sex nowadays, isn't it?
It is. I mean, and I see that personally. I had, you know, my husband and I just recently talked about, we have some friends, among ladies groups, right? You get together and you talk, and sometimes you say things or you make jokes about your husband that go a little too far. And, you know, I don't really hear my husband and his friends, you know, make snide comments about their wives in ways that wives often feel free to make snide comments about their husbands. And, of course, that's a really small thing, but it matters, you know, because, again, you know, a husband, a daddy, he needs respect just like his wife does. So that's something that we owe to each other and ought to think about.
Where do you think this has come from where it is, it's, and you're talking there about kind of the social interactions between wives and, mm-hmm. and husbands, but there is a bigger context for that where it's not only acceptable, it's kind of a little bit expected for that kind of commentary to take place when women talk about their husbands.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, again, you know, folks are familiar with, you know, kind of the, you know, the Al Bundy, stupid, fat dad on a couch who is lazy and his poor wife is hustling around, you know, trying to keep the family together. I mean, that's a common TV and culture trope. But again, what's really frustrating about that is, you know, that doesn't represent the men that I know. You know, my husband, my dad, you know, my sons, they work very hard to make me happy and make a good life for us. And I bet that's true of the majority of women in the country. And it doesn't really do any good. In fact, I think it does harm to our culture to tell men, you're dumb, you know, you're incapable, women are better than you, you're, you know, just kind of a fat, you know, fellow who sits on the couch farting. You know, this is not the modeling that I want my sons to see of what a man is. You know, there's so many better things that they can aspire to and look up to, and that's what we need to be holding up before them.
So talk about the injustices, the serious injustices that this kind of mindset that seems to kind of pervade American social life nowadays brings about.
Right. So I talk about a particular thing in the article. There's many instances, especially lately, particularly tied to the kind of sexual assault hysteria we've seen lately over the past couple of months. And so the one in the article I mentioned is that just recently the head football coach of the University of Arizona put out a statement saying that his contract was not renewed, which basically means his career might be over, just over an accusation of a woman against him of untoward behavior. He said he cooperated, you know, with a private investigation to that. It didn't find any evidence of wrongdoing between him and this woman whatsoever, but just because of an accusation, she was able, you know, to defame him and to derail his career. And again, I don't know the details here, but look, you know, the woman had just made an accusation. It wasn't brought in court. We don't have any evidence that this man has done any wrongdoing. And, you know, this is serious repercussions for him. We have the same thing happening on college campuses, many documented instances of just an accusation being able, you know, to effectively end the economic, the education prospects of young men without any, you know, due process proof that the accusations are true. And several of these have found to be just based on grudges that the young women had against these young men. So again, as you know, I'm a mom, I'm a wife. I don't want that happening to my sons. You know, people who do terrible things to others should be punished for that, but people shouldn't be punished for things they haven't done. This is just basic justice.
You also point out that, and this is stuff you just simply won't hear, maybe because men aren't apt to complain about it too much, that four times as many college scholarships are designated for women as for men. Uh-huh. I've never heard that before.
Well, that's one of my husband's pet peeves, so that's how I knew to look it up and check if the stats were true. But I mean, you go to college, you see that, well, it's not even true in college now, it's also true in the workplace. There are specific mentoring programs set up specifically for women. You know, there are a career accelerator set up for women, fellowships for women. And again, I like women. I'm a woman. I like having these things. But there is a lot of asymmetry, you know, in the opportunities that are specifically geared towards women and shut down for men in ways that, you know, there shouldn't really be like a sex factor, you know, in a professional and academic setting. You know, the work that you do should be the key validator of your advancement, not whether you're a man or a woman. But we have the opposite. We have people picking people not based on their virtues or their character or their accomplishments, but just, you know, based on their bodily makeup, which isn't a fair criteria for that environment. So again, we have institutional injustice. I'm laughing because that's a way that often the left likes to talk about it, but it really is true. We have specific programs that are biased towards women in ways that disadvantage men, and that's something that we don't talk about it in the same way. Again, if it were happening to women, if there were, you know, when there are male-only fraternities, male-only clubs, those are held up and pilloried and demanded that, you know, women be admitted entrance to them, but we never see the same happen for women's clubs, for women's programs.
Joy Pullman is our guest. She's a mother of four children, managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book Education Invasion, and a recent column we're discussing with her from The Federalist titled Rather Than Banding Together to Kill All Men This Year, Women Should Learn to Love. When we come back, some basic and they should be truths that everyone accept. Just being a man doesn't automatically make you good or bad. We'll talk about that after this.
Not a woman on earth.
Each month, the Lutheran Witness magazine brings together leading thinkers and writers to cover a range of vital topics relating to Christian life and faith, culture and theology. So whether your 2018 New Year's resolution is to read more widely, think more broadly, or grow more deeply in your faith, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's flagship magazine can help. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thank you for helping us make Budget and for more than 4.5 million downloads of Issues Etc. in 2017. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio Incorporated has been independent and in the black for almost 10 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support of Issues Etc. live and on demand, and for our 24/7 talk and music stations.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the consequences of fostering an anti-male culture. Joy Pullman is our guest. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is a good corrective to what I think is one of the most dangerous myths about Lutheran theology, that it has nothing to say about the Christian life or about good works. The proof against that myth is found in the book Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey by Pastor Will Whedon, a regular guest here on the program, Recovering the Joys of Piety. Find out more about this fantastic book. Call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey on every page of the website. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. Joy, this isn't just something that is kind of slightly annoying at dinner parties. This is something that in society really makes for a toxic culture, and I think psychologically damaging culture, because young women who are raised on this kind of anti-male bias eventually find themselves at odds with their biology. Many of them would like to find a good man. Of course, they've been taught almost their entire adult life that that does not exist. What does that do to young women's psyches?
Well, I can actually tell you, it's funny you asked me, because I kind of transformed that along those lines once I met and married my husband. And look, I came from a good home. My parents, you know, have positive views about men. I have brothers, so on and so forth, you know, but just culturally, I had, you know, adopted, I didn't notice that it was there inside my head until I began acting on it in my relationship with my husband, just assuming that he is dumb, you know, that he's incapable of things, that I, you know, should be the decision maker and in charge of all kinds of things. And, of course, that comes out when you're married. You have to work together with someone for some mutual goals. And I began to realize, wow, I why would I have married? I don't actually think my husband is dumb. I don't think he's bad. I don't think he's means to hurt me, so why do I react to him, you know, in neutral situations as if he's an enemy? So, I mean, that is obviously really harmful for a marriage where you have, you know, a man who is being himself, who is just generally loving and a good man, and he has this wife who is acting, you know, suspicious of him, who is anticipating that he will treat her in certain ways. So that's really toxic to their relationships. It's true. I've seen it in dating relationships, in mother and son relationships. I mean, it is really, it's toxic between, you know, to the relationships between the sexes that we need to have a harmonious society. So you're absolutely right, you know, and again, this might not be, you know, I always thought of myself as thinking men are good, you know, never really having a chip on my shoulder. And then it still came out because you're right, this is just the way, this is our cultural assumptions, and you pick that up whether you think that you have or not, whether you've agreed to it or not. So that is something I think women should be thinking about, especially in their interactions with the men around them, and taking care to counteract and kind of make up for, to ensure, you know, that, again, they can love the men around them as the men deserve to be loved.
If this is writ large over society, it does, as we've seen, it does have the tendency to kind of institutionalize itself. It makes for those disparities you discussed before, but it also raises a generation of women who, and of men, who may actually believe the rhetoric, even the jokes. And where does that lead us as a society, Joy?
Well, I don't think probably everybody who's listening can come up with, you know, the stuff that we notice about how men are doing lately, and it's not very well. You know, I think we can all admit, you know, look, we know fewer men are going to college. There's been a massive drop-off of working-age young men from the workforce. I mean, they're not injured. You know, they're not disabled. They're not in war. They have no excuse, but they're not working. And it's really, you know, this is one of the great mysteries that economists are trying to solve right now. So, I mean, besides that, as well as, you know, women are frustrated in their relationships with men. They, you know, don't want to get married. You know, they're worried about how a man might treat them because they've been told that men are aggressive predators who are going to, you know, hurt them. You know, so we have all of these kind of dysfunctionalities that everybody can see, you know, among their personal relationships. And, you know, look, this is not good for us. It doesn't make us happy. It doesn't lead to a healthy society. And I think there are, you know, there are real things that we can do to address it and help us to live together and love each other.
Joy Pullman is mother of four children. She's managing editor of The Federalist. She's author of the book The Education Invasion and a recent column for The Federalist titled Rather Than Banding Together to Kill All Men. This year, women should learn to love. You can read it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Joy, thank you very much for being our guest.
Oh, thanks for asking.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Chris Roseborough about the 2018 prophetic words. He says some of them aren't even out yet. How are we supposed to start the year without them? And we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year ordinarily on a Friday afternoon. We're playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. But we've come to the end of a broadcast year and the beginning of a new one. We've assembled the top vote getters from all of the Issues Etc. Soundbites of the Week from 2017. Tomorrow we're ready to play those four for you and have you pick Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.
Listening to God's word, daily prayers, frequent and faithful reception of the Eucharist, confession of sins and absolution, good works. Learn more about the life of Lutheran piety in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. It's written by regular guest Pastor Will Whedon. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey.